If you follow the Athens music scene, you almost certainly know about 5-8, founded in the early 90s. The band was on its way to success, following in the footsteps of groups like Pylon and REM. But personal issues and disagreements with the record company tore the band apart. An upcoming documentary called 5-8, Weirdo Reborn, tells the story of their reunion and their comeback. The band has a new album. It's called Songs for St. Jude. It drops this week. And with me now from Athens, our band members, Mike Mantioni and Sean Dunn. Guys, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you on the program. Yeah, pleasure. Hey, Mike, let me start with you. Look, I watched the documentary last night, and I love the part where you're talking about the success you were having back then. What was it, 20, 21 years ago or so? You were young. You were making music. You were part of the band. You were traveling around the country playing clubs. Talk about those days and how heady they were for you.
It was awesome. We had we were on a small independent label, and we were selling out the 40 Watt. And it was just a really great time for the band. At one point, Walter Yetnikoff, the president of CBS Records, flew me up to New York and wined and dined me. I got to meet Kate Moss, and it was pretty awesome. Went to some big party. They drove me around in a Silver Shadow limousine. Yeah, it was great.
Was there anything that you thought you couldn't do, couldn't accomplish in those days if you're riding around with Kate Moss and getting all those high-end treatment?
There was a lot. Mostly it revolved around cleaning my bedroom. I was unable to clean my bedroom. I couldn't understand it.
I actually want to play a clip from the documentary. Again, it's called 5-8, Weirdo Reborn. This is David Barbie, a legendary Athens music producer, and your producer on the record.
And for the record, it's like I've made like 300 records. Nobody calls me before the record from the record company and says, so what kind of album do you hear the band making? But pressure. So we got in the studio to record, and Patrick gets sick. That didn't make it easier. Sean's brand new. He doesn't know the songs. There's some inner band strife.
So, Sean, what was going on? You didn't know the music. This is your moment. You're going in and you're recording what's going to be a big record for you guys.
Well, let me just be clear. Now, usually by the end of playing those songs live, I know the entire song and I know the changes by the end of the song.
That's
normally.
That's generous.
Normally.
That's generous of you. We're a very improvisational band, to say the least. I think David Barbie was taking a little bit of liberties right there. You know, I think Sean...
I knew some of the songs.
You knew a couple of songs. You might have... And you actually knew some parts that I still don't know and didn't know at that time.
That is true.
They showed up on the record, especially on karaoke.
Oh, they were good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I never heard that before. That was really a good part.
So, Sean, what was happening, David also alludes to internal strife within the band. What was happening within the band at this moment in time?
Yeah, I don't actually have any recollection of that. I'm a middle child, and I'm sort of conflict-averse, so I just shut down emotionally if anything like that was going on. So I couldn't tell you.
So, Mike, you take that on, yeah.
I know what was happening. We had been traveling around in a small green van, playing to about 30 people all across the country, doing about 250 dates a year for 2 years in a row. We were about done with that.
It was fun.
It's hard to overstate how much time we spent together. And
why is Sean laughing?
No, I remember it as a great time, but I just gloss over everything.
You remember that same period of time differently?
No, we did have a good time. That is true. I think the strife came from the pressure from the record company having to make the record.
Okay, so let me move forward and to that point about pressure. I want to play another clip from the documentary. This is Dan Horowitz, your bass player, talking about His Ooh. Discrepancy, is the name correct, Dan Horwitz?
No.
I was just busting.
Oh, okay, okay.
Pay no attention to him.
All right, talking about the issues with your record company at the time.
In hindsight, we can say, yeah, they wanted a really big rock record, and that's why they did the post-production stuff they did to the album. But I'm not sure if that was really so articulated before we started recording.
So, Mike, this is amazing to me that you can take on what is at the time a huge, you expect it to be a life-changing project, right? And not be on the same page ultimately with your record label on the deliverables, right? Were you sending finished tracks to the label? Were they giving you feedback? Talk about that, please.
There was no communication whatsoever during the recording of the record and the record label.
Correct.
We took the finished product and handed it to the label, and they freaked out.
And then the mayhem started after that. And we were already back in the van touring when that process of ruining the record began.
I see.
There was zero communication about what record they wanted us to make.
But they seem to suggest they wanted what kind of a record? A Nirvana-type record? And
yes.
You wanted to produce something that was true to your core, true to your spirit, that indie spirit.
Yeah, and I think I was a little surprised to hear that Barbie had gotten that conversation. And hats off to him for not bringing what he was getting from the record company into the studio. And especially in listening to the record now, you know, 16 years later, 21 years later, 22 years later, I think besides the weird mastering thing that happened with it, the record really holds up. And I would say... A good part of that is because Barbie kept us on track with helping us fulfill our vision.
I want folks to hear a bit of it from the original Weirdo album. Let's play a bit of a track. This is What They Did. Sean, I think you just said it holds up. Mike, does it hold up for you?
It does. I was, you know, a lot of the story behind Weirdo, I had, you know, pleasantly forgotten. And when we all came back together to remaster it, it was basically because of, and really it was supposed to be remastering. It became a remixing. But Patrick had written a letter saying he wanted to right a wrong, and I didn't even remember. What had happened originally, and he wrote a letter to the band. This is Patrick Ferguson, the drummer, better known as Tigger. He wrote a really long letter. I read it, and I was like, what? And then it started coming back, and then when we went to Barbie, he was like, let's do it. And when having all of us together in the room listening to that record the way it was originally intended was just a super awesome experience. It was like, wow.
That's wonderful.
It was just awesome. All of us, we had Demezi in there, and we were all listening to this song, Hurt You, which is just a really intense, one of my favorite songs I've ever written and the band has ever played together, and it was just, it's a slow song, it's a deep track. It was just mind-blowingly great.
And now you're back together, you've got new music. Sean, what are your thoughts on the new CD, Songs for St. Jude?
To me, it's maybe the best record we've ever done, just the way it came together. And again, I really think that the producer, Mike Albanese, who's a local producer at a espresso machine studio here, he really helped us put it all together. Mike and I probably wrote close to 100 songs for this record.
My goodness. And I
feel great about it. I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
We should play a clip from the new album. This song is called Pleiades. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Pleiades.
Pleiades, yeah.
Pleiades.
The sisters. in the sky.
That's a constellation.
Constellation.
From Greek mythology, correct?
Correct. And there's a meteor shower that happens that sort of comes out of the Pleiades, which is making this song is making reference to.
Okay, let's play a clip. And Mike, last one for me. How does it feel to be back together? You've got the band back together again.
We're experiencing kind of a great time for the band. We really never broke up, essentially, but Sean and Patrick left the band at around 97, 98. And a friend of mine, Mike Rizzi, joined the band at that point, and we kept things rolling along, me and Dan. So really, next year we'll be celebrating our 30 years of 5/8 continuously being together. But I've never felt better about what we're doing writing-wise. I think, you know, obviously having a double record tells you that we believe in what we're doing. But also, you know, we've already written the next record, I believe, and I'm getting ready to call up Albanese to get into the studio and start recording it.
Well,
so
it sounds like you're in a great place. It really does.
Yeah,
definitely.
And thank you for your time. No, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I was going to just mention that we do have a pledge music drive for our album.
Pre-sale.
Yeah, it's pre-sale, so you can buy the album.
Guys, I've got to run, but thank you both very much. Yep. We're back in a moment. This is On Second Thought.